mentioned this earlier. This is almost unbelievable to me. University of Iowa, and there are, I cannot tell you how many Iowa alum there are here in the Chicago area. I mean, it's like everywhere you turn, there's some Hawkeye. There's somebody doing that thing with their fingers, spelling out the Iowa. Iowa. Right, that's right. That's what it is. And they just announced that they are permanently, they're targeting the elimination, the Board of Regents there in Iowa, permanently going to get rid of swimming, diving, men's gymnastics, and tennis. These are the non-revenue sports, they call it, and they're blaming it on the fact that the football revenue is down. Vicki Nauman is with us. She actually was a swimmer at Iowa back in the 1980s. And Vicki, thank you so much for being with us. You're one of the voices here that is raising the alarm about this and wants the Board of Regents to reconsider this elimination strategy. What are they saying to you? When is this scheduled to happen?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks so much for having me. This is obviously a topic near and dear to my heart. Well, we haven't really been able to get clarity on this, and we're talking to the university administration leadership, the athletic department leadership. I escalated to the Board of Regents simply because there really hasn't been a process in place for the current students, nor any kind of notification to the broader alumni network and those that would be able to step up and put some money on the table and keep these programs alive.
And this isn't just because of COVID and they're going to take a year off or 2 years off or whatever it is. They're talking about permanently eliminating these things.
Exactly. And that's really where, for me, when I first got the Dear Letter Winner email, and I started reading this, I thought, well, wait a minute, you're going to permanently cancel programs in response to a temporary problem. That's number one. And then the second thing was that there was an FAQ that stated that there was no amount of private capital that could be raised that would change the decision. So the combination of these things just really raised a lot of eyebrows and caused me to go in and do a deep dive into what is actually going on here. And it just doesn't make sense. And we feel like the, you know, these programs have legacies. The swimming program is 103 years old. The butterfly stroke was invented
in the Fieldhouse
pool.
Wait, hold on. I want to go back. I want to highlight that for a moment. I read that in the prep material today. I'm like, the butterfly stroke was invented at Iowa? In Iowa City?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, exactly. So apparently, back in the 1930s, they had freestyle backstroke and breaststroke. And with breaststroke, you know, the recovery is under the water. So breaststroke tends to be slower because you have all the resistance of water.
Yeah.
But there was an Australian swimmer that was also working on this, and everyone's mandate at the time was, how can we create a stroke where the recovery is above the water? Because it would be so much faster. So there were a number of different athletes and coaches around the world that were working on this, but it was Dave Armbruster at the University of Iowa in the Fieldhouse who really started testing this and had a...
Wow. It's wild. I thought Aquaman actually invented that. I had no idea that it was actually a coach at Iowa. Okay, so let's go back to this notion that getting rid of swimming at Iowa or getting rid of gymnastics, which also is a storied program there as
yes.
well, right?
Yes.
I mean, they've had a number of Iowa gymnastic athletes over the years have been Olympians. I mean, this is like it's a big deal to permanently get rid of this and hide behind COVID when really they're just not revenue making sports like football and basketball are for the school, but they are revenue drains. And does this mean if Iowa does this, of all places, which is, you know, couldn't be more proud of their athletic programs, does that mean that everybody's going to end up doing it?
Well, I think it sets a really dangerous example because the University of Iowa to me has always been a pinnacle of Division I big time sports and academics. And virtually all of these programs around the country are struggling. And there have been a number of terminations of, you know, sometimes women's programs, but they keep the men, sometimes the other way around. And I think that we've gotten to the point where we need a new business model. We need to have a new infrastructure for these sports. Because when you, if you go up a couple thousand feet and you think, well, you know, a lot of the students that are there are on partial scholarships. So they're primarily for their academics. They're getting a little bit of financial aid, but they're paying money to the university. I think it's unfair to categorize things as non-revenue producing. And I think that we need to look at alternative structures and not just lump everything into football, because otherwise everything that's not football and that's not doesn't have broad-based media rights is just going to be an accounting error and noise, and that's not the spirit of supporting people's athletic dreams.
Well, actually, you know, you want to kill the English department because, like, well, everybody speaks English. Well, let's just move along. I mean, it's just as dumb as that to me. It makes zero sense. All right, Vicky, hold on one second for me. Vicky Nauman is with us. The University of Iowa has announced that they are going to be canceling what they consider to be non-revenue generating sports as a result of the money that they're losing because the football stadium can't be filled with fans, and they're not going to play. Obviously, Big Ten's not playing this year. A letter has been drafted and signed by a bunch of athletes, and Vicky Nauman is with us. She's one of the. She's a former swimmer at Iowa in the 1980s, and she was the. She's one of the people who were, you know, behind this movement to get the Board of Regents in Iowa to look at this and go, whoa, 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 you can't do this. And it just goes, Vicky, I want to jump, and I've got a phone call here of somebody else who's also an Iowa athlete in just a second, but the thing that drives me craziest about the story when I read it today is that, you know, this phony baloney argument that all big-time college football programs have been talking about, oh, we don't have to pay the players because this, you know, they're getting their education, and this is all about the student-athlete, and we care about the athletes, and there are so many stories. Not necessarily at Iowa, but at other universities, where the players don't get treated very well if they get hurt, or they don't get treated very well. They don't finish their, and sometimes it's on the player, sometimes it's on the university. They don't necessarily finish their degree after they've been playing, and that to me has always been one of those kind of cringeworthy big lies about the way that we wish we could see something versus how it really is.
No, I completely agree, and I think that we have a little bit, it feels a little bit like the tail wagging the dog in this instance, where I think the University of Iowa Athletic Department seems to have gotten in pretty deep in financial, you know, over $200 million in debt, you know, claiming, you know, build lots of new facilities, new offices, all, you know, remodeling the VIP section of Kinnick Stadium. Where are the students in that? Where are the student athletes in that? And what is the promise that the university has made to student athletes who have chosen this university? You know, most of the swimmers and the divers, gymnasts and the tennis players that I've spoken to that are currently on the team, they had multiple offers. They could have gone to any number of different universities, and they chose Iowa. And Iowa has not fulfilled their part of the bargain, and they certainly bungled the way that they handled this of, you know, not giving the students or the parents any kind of notice, bringing them into a meeting on a Friday to tell them in 2 minutes that their programs are being canceled, and then the athletic director left. And, you know, and it's just not giving, it's not treating the students with respect, and it's not honoring the fact that there is more to a decision that goes into choosing a university than just what sport you're doing.
Let me ask you this, though, Vicky. This is a text, and I'll bet you there are a lot of people who are asking this exact same question. Eliminating these sports is really about Title IX and the expense that these colleges perceive to incur to create a level playing field for women. They will blame these smaller sports, but my money is on Title IX being at the core. What do you think about that?
Well, I think there's some truth to this, that the University of Iowa has you know, set itself a goal of 25% diversity in their sports over the next 5 years. Well, cutting these programs is probably going to get you a better ratio, But I would argue that, like everything in society, where we have greater awareness about, you know, racial justice and balance in society, whether it's women and men or minorities, is that you need to do more than just punish the sports that are already in existence to achieve the right ratio. You need to strategically go out and outreach into the communities. You need to look holistically at your programs, and you need to do that in a way that's still going to support the athletes that you currently have and not just slash and burn to get a better ratio.
It's just amazing to me that a university the size of Iowa, with the athletic tradition of Iowa, with the money that is made because of their placement in the Big Ten and Kinnick Stadium, and how, you know, that's sold out every Saturday that they're at home. And then when they're on the road, all those stadiums that they're in, you know, save a couple of the schools, are sold out. It's disturbing, because it just doesn't seem to make any sense. Mark, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, hi. My name is Mark Fastman. Thanks for having me on. And Vicky, thanks for your leadership in this. I swam at the University of Iowa from 96 to 2000. And the thing that's disappointing to me is I don't think this is a necessary cut that the university had to make. And I think the way they handled it, the way they communicated the cut, showed a lack of planning and a lack of care and empathy for the student athletes. As Vicky's pointed out, the Iowa swimming community is large and passionate. And I think given the opportunity, there are certainly many, many other opportunities for us to fund that sport through a different model and preserve those the chance to compete at the Big Ten level.
Okay, well, let's talk about
that. Swimmers today and swimmers in the future.
Let's talk about that. What other model would you fund it with?
Well, look, I think that non-revenue sports, as they are called, which I don't necessarily love that term, but that's the term that we use, need to look at things differently, right? And whether it's a private funding through foundations that are supported by the alumni, or some other model, clearly has to happen, because as the landscape of football and the football arms race accelerates, it's going to be something that all universities have to face. And I'm disappointed in the lack of creativity that Iowa showed as an alumni in confronting this issue. But I think that the money is there, because I can tell you, having spent 4 years swimming at Iowa, it changed my life. And I know that's true for countless alumni around the country and around the world. And I just wish they would have engaged us in that conversation.
Yeah. All right, Mark, thank you very much. Vicky, do you think that this has to do with universities, Iowa cutting these programs of wrestling and swimming, diving, tennis, that these universities are getting ready because they're eventually going to have to start to pay their athletes in the revenue sports?
I do. I think there's a pulling apart right now of what we think of as this traditional intercollegiate athletics model, where we have a really robust mix of student athletes and sports, and they're all kind of jumbled in together. It seems like football is going in one direction, where it's going to be almost like a mini NFL.
Right.
Exactly. And then you have the rest of the sports. Well, you don't go into these sports because you want to necessarily become a pro tennis player. You might, but that's probably not the motivation. Most people in the other sports, they're more Olympic sports and non-revenue sports, are there to get an education and to really, push themselves in their athleticism. But I think that when we have had this reliance on the football program, I think that it is actually problematic. Back in my day, we had individual foundations and individual fundraising on a sport specific basis. So people supported the swimming program. We had parents. We had foundations. We had people that were all putting the money in,
right.
And
boosters,
that went away,
yeah.
And now it's just one big pool. And so it's easy to say, well, football pays for everything, so we get to call all the shots. And I don't think that that's the bargain that anybody signed up for.
All right, Vicky, thank you very much. Appreciate it. And thank you for bringing this to everybody's attention. I know it's a big issue in Iowa City right now, but in Chicago, with a gigantic alumni corps that is here and some pretty well-heeled alumni, I mean, mean, there were people going nuts. Exactly. You know, when this broke, and I didn't go to Iowa, but you know, my friends, so many of my friends did, and I have family members who did, and they're calling me like, do something about this. Like I'm, but it is pretty interesting because I think at Iowa, in canceling these non-revenue sports, or some of them at least, that is just the beginning of other universities in the Big Ten and throughout big time college sports are going to be getting away with it. And then Division III schools that don't make money on any of those sports are going to, I think, maybe reap the benefits of that. In terms of the athletes ending up in places like that. So, all right, Vicky, thank you very much. I got to run, but I really appreciate your time and appreciate what you're doing here for the athletes at the University of Iowa. All right,
thank you so much.
You're welcome.